Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Let us continue where we are up to last week. If you remember, we had our first shiur on the topic of tzedakah, and at the very end of the shiur, began to address Ma'aser Ksafim, and we pointed out a piece that Rav Schechter has in his sefer in the Eretz HaTzvi, where he discusses whether Ma'aser Ksafim is halachically considered a form of Ma'aser. Is it a form of Ma'aser that we take off from our grains, etc.? Or is Ma'aser Ksafim basically just a form of Tzedakah? That was a discussion that we had last week, and briefly, and we pointed out that Samachlokas, Rambam, and Ravid, that's what Rav Schechter has. One of the interesting applications of this is going to be what we're discussing tonight in terms of Ma'aser Ksafim, the source of it, the nature of it. All these issues should relate to, in general terms, to that question as to whether Ma'aser Ksafim is a form of Ma'aser, pardon me, whether it's considered a form of Tzedakah. So let's get into it. The basic source, the original source of Ma'aser Ksafim, is a Tosis here in Tannis on Daf Tes. It's the first source on your sheet. Tosis quotes from a Sifrei. Aser Taseis quotes from a Zarecha, Hayotzei Asada Shana Shana, that the word kol is extra. And because that word kol is extra, that tells you that I do not only take Maaser from Tvua Zarecha, from stuff that grows, but I also take Maaser from Ribbis and Pragmatia, from interest, from merchandise, basically from all profits, I take Maaser as well. That's what it says in the Sifrei. Now, it's worth noting, right? First of all, who here remembers what the Sifrei is? Okay, good. In other words, the Sifrei, correct, Dashiell. The Sifrei is a Midrash Halacha on Devarim. And the Sifrei says that there's an obligation to take Ma'aser Ksafim. It seems pretty black on white. The problem is, if you open the Sifrei, you'll notice that it's neither black nor is it on white. The Sifrei, in fact, does not exist. And this is a point that is noted by many. Many of the sources I'm mentioning tonight, by the way, come from an excellent book that is called Ma'aser Ksafim. It came out in 1980, I believe, or 1981. The British Organization of Orthodox Jewish Scientists decided to research the topic of Ma'aser Ksafim, and they spoke to all of the Gedolim, to Rav Moshe Feinstein, to the Minchas Yisrael, to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, to get their psukim on various questions relating to Ma'aser Ksafim. The book was written by Cyril Dom. Cyril Dom is a physicist. He was just nifter recently. He wrote this book on Ma'aser Ksafim. It's really an excellent book, and in that book, in the first chapter, when they go through the sources of Ma'aser Ksafim, they point out that this Sifrei does not exist. But be it as it may, Tosis says it exists. Tosis had the Sifrei, and the impression that you get from here is that there's an obligation to take off Ma'aser Ksafim. However, it's not clear. It's not clear. Is this a din d'oraisa, or is this a din d'rabbanan? It's not clear, right? Anytime you have a drasha that's found in the Sifrei, you really have to question, is it d'oraisa, d'rabbanan? More often than not, our default setting is that it's d'oraisa, but that's not abundantly clear. There is a discussion regarding whether it's a d'oraisa or a d'rabbanan, and that takes us back to what we began with. It's a classical discussion. In fact, what we'll see is that there are three or perhaps four different positions, depending on how you count, relating to whether Ma'aser Ksafim is a d'oraisa or a d'rabbanan. So let's go. The Taz in Yerideya, Sin Shin Lamed Aleph, the Taz writes that many of the dinim of Tzedakah are based on the Ramah writes, many of the dinim of Tzedakah is based on Ma'aser Ani, and therefore the Taz has a comment. It says Yesh L'damos Ma'aser Shemafrishim Min HaRevach Mamon L'din Ma'aser Ani. The Taz says that Ma'aser Ksafim, the Ma'aser that you take off of profit, should be compared to Ma'aser Ani of Tavua and Peros. Right? In other words, that just like you take Ma'aser Ani, right, in years 3 and 6 of the cycle, right, instead of what we do years 1, 2, 4, and 5, which is Ma'aser Sheni, that we take an additional 10th off and we bring it up to Yerushalayim, Ma'aser Ani is that we take an additional 10th off and we give it to poor people. Zuk the Taz, that the Ma'aser Ksafim that we give is modeled after, is compared, Yesh L'damos, to Ma'aser Ani. And he says he is saying this in opposition to his father-in-law, because the Bach, who's the father-in-law of the Taz, the Bach says that our Meiser is neither an obligation min HaTorah, nor is an obligation min Drabonon, rather it's only a minhag. So the Taz says, I disagree with this Shver, right? First important chiddush tonight is that you're allowed to disagree with your father-in-law. Right? The Taz says, I disagree with my father-in-law. My father-in-law says it's only a minhag, but I hold that it's a bona fide obligation, and it's compared to Meiser Ani. However, it's not clear from the Taz, when he says it's compared to Meiser Ani, does that mean it's a chiyuv d'oraisa? Does that mean that it is a chiyuv d'rabbanon? It's really not abundantly clear. Within Tosis also, Tosis learns on the pasuk of Aser to Aser, but we mentioned a few minutes ago, we're not sure. Is it a lima d'oraisa? Is it a lima d'rabbanon? We still don't know. What we do know is that for the Bach, it's neither d'oraisa nor d'rabbanon, it's only a minhag. Fine. So who says it's d'oraisa? Who says it's d'rabbanon? So the Sefer Maaser Ksafim on page 27 quotes that the Gra, as we know, at one point in his life, there's a historian, Morgenstern, who writes about this extensively. The Gra decided he's going to bring Mashiach. So one of the ways he's going to bring Mashiach is that the Gra decided he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote a beautiful letter to his family. It's an often quoted letter on his way to Eretz Yisrael. He encourages his daughters to study Torah, etc. Very, very nice letter. So one of the things that the Gra writes, is that Ma'aser Ksafim is really a din d'oraisa. And he tells him, be very, very careful about Ma'aser Ksafim. And he says, if you are mafchis, if you do not give a full tenth, or you don't give a full fifth, he even encourages them to give a fifth, not a tenth, so in that case, you are in violation of many lavim, right? That means many isurim d'oraisa. You get the impressions of d'oraisa. And, right, he also writes that you are a kofer batorah. You're a kofer batorah. The Maharil, however, disagrees. And the Maharil says that it is d'rabbanon. And then those who say it's a minhag is the Bach that we encountered before and the Maharam of Rotenburg. And this position that's a minhag, right, that it's not d'oraisa like the Gra said, and it's not even d'rabbanon like the Maharil said, but it's only a minhag, so this position is the Bach, and it's the Maharam of Rutenberg, and this is the way the contemporary poskim pasuk of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Minchas Yitzchak and Chacham Ovadia and Reb Chaim Kanievsky and the Sefer Derech Amuna, they all paskin that it's a minhag, and everyone puts the Maharam of Rutenberg together with the Bach. However, in the recently published Badei HaShulchan on Hilchos Tzedaka, here in Siman Reish Mem Tes Sif Katan Gimel, he points out that a careful reading of the Maharam of Rutenberg shows the Maharam of Rutenberg is not exactly the same as the Bach. Okay, let's go slowly. Minhag. Minhag can mean different things, no? There's some minhagim, for example, that we all do. Right? Yantav Sheni of Golias, according to the simple meaning of the Gemara is minhag avoseinu biyadeinu. No, it's a minhag. We all do it, right? But it's called a minhag. Halel on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says, is a minhag. We all do these types of minhagim. That's called a minhag Yisrael. Then there are other minhagim, which are minhagim not of all Jews, but they are minhagim of individuals. No. If it's a minhag of all Jews, so then presumably you can't opt out of it. Right? I can't decide, you know what, halal on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag, I'm not saying halal this week. Right? It doesn't work like that. Right? Rosh Chodesh, you have to say halal. It's only a minhag, but we still do it. If it's a minhag of an individual, there are ways to opt out. It's called heter nedarim, no? The Gemara in the Nedarim tells us that every minhag is binding mitaras neder. I can be matur on it, but I can't be matur neder on the fact that I recite halom Rosh Chodesh. That I can't do. Says Reb Chaim Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan that he thinks that Maharam of Rutenberg, when he speaks about minhag, right, he's not talking about the same type of minhag that the Bach is talking about. You see, for the Bach, it's an individual minhag. It's a minhag that you could be matur neder on. But for the Maharam of Rutenberg, you get the impression that is a minhag kol Yisrael. Nevertheless, the fact is that the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Ahavas Chesed, Chelek Beis Perek Yud Ches, the Chofetz Chaim paskins that it's a minhag, and paskins a minhag in the more lenient Bach sort of way. It's a type of minhag that you can get out of. Chofetz Chaim recommends that before a person begins to give Ma'aser Ksofim, the person should say that I am doing this B'li Neder. In other words, we do not want it to be binding. Lemaisa, we paskin that if you don't say you give Ma'aser Ksofim B'li Neder, you need Hataras Nedarim on the Ma'aser Ksofim. But Hataras Nedarim will help. There is a line in the Derech Amuna where he says that even if I make a T'nai, right, that I'm not obligating myself to Ma'aser Ksofim, still I should not be Mevatel Ma'aser Ksofim unless it's a Tzorech Gadol. And Rav Avraham Cohen in the Tziyunim letter Yud Beis is not exactly convinced. So far what we have in terms of Ma'aser Ksofim, right, is the question whether it's D'oraisa or D'rabbanan or Minhag, and we also have the source. These issues are probably connected, no? If Ma'aser Ksofim is really derived from the Pasuk of Aser Ta'aser, right, so that would mean it's either D'oraisa or D'rabbanan. It's a form of Ma'aser. Right, that machlokes Rambam and Ravid that we spoke about last week when we began with today, if it's really a form of Ma'aser, so then it's got to be D'oraisa D'rabbanan. But let's say it's not really a form of Ma'aser, right? Let's say it's just an Inyan Staka. So I could say that's an Inyan Staka. It's only a minhag. No, there is a chiyuv to give Staka. We'll speak about this in coming weeks. The minimum amount to give Staka is 1/3 of a shekel a year. But there's a minhag. You give Ma'aser Ksofim as tzedakah. Again, that's what the Bach would say, and that seems to be what the contemporary poskim paskin like. Interestingly, the Ma'aser Ksofim book quotes from Dr. Zimmels in his work Ashkenazim and Sfaradim that if you do a search of this is much easier in the year 2013 than it was in the 1980s when this book was written. Right? But in the Ma'aser Ksofim book, they point out, you know, today we have a computer, so I could search and find out how often the term Ma'aser Ksofim appears and in which Rishonim. Dr. Zimmels, in his book, Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, did this, I guess, without the high-powered Bar Ilans that we have. And he came to the conclusion, interestingly, that the word Ma'aser Ksofim, which is found here in the Ramah and Reish Mem Tes, Ma'aser Ksofim is never found in Sfaradi Rishonim. It's not found in a single Sfaradi Rishon. Actually, it's found in a single Sfaradi Rishon. We'll have to talk about that in a few moments. But Ma'aser Ksofim seems to be a phenomenon that is only in Ashkenaz. It's not found in Sfarad at all. One of the most striking proofs to this is what Rebbe Tzion Abba Shaul notes. That if you read the Rambam tells us that Ma'aser Ksofim is basically a subset of the mitzvah tzedakah, no? And the Rambam doesn't even talk about Ma'aser Ksofim. He says that there are different amounts a person can put tzedakah. There's no independent of Ma'aser Ksofim. That means, for the Rambam, that if I meet a poor person, so I have to give him money, how much I give him? Well, I should give him Ma'aser, I should give him a tenth. Why? That's a share of tzedakah. For the Rambam, and for many Sfaradi Rishonim, there is no such thing as an independent mitzvah of Ma'aser Ksofim. In the Ma'aser Ksofim book, they point out that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of the Rush, remember, the Rush moved from Germany to Spain, no? So his son, Rabbi Yehuda, points out in an ethical will that he wrote that you should keep the minhagim that we had in Germany. For example, giving Ma'aser Ksofim. Ma'aser Ksofim is not done, they say, in these countries, in Spain. But in Germany it was done, and Rabbi Yehuda, the son of the Rush, says that you should try to maintain the Inyan of Ma'aser Ksofim. So it's a discussion that it's interesting to note that Ma'aser Ksofim is only found in Ashkenaz, it's not found in Sfarad. That also leads in the direction that it's a minhag, no? Were Ma'aser Ksofim to be a full-fledged obligation. So then we could not be mekel. Then we could not say, oh, that it only applies to Ashkenazim, it doesn't apply for Sephardim. That would be very, very difficult. This question as to whether Maaser Ksufim is a din of tzedakah, whether Maaser Ksufim is a din of Maaser. So we mentioned last week that the comment of the Ramah that only that you're not supposed to test God in general. Lo tanasu es Hashem, it's a pasuk. But by Maaser, the pasuk says Ubchanuni Nabazos, you're allowed to test God. What about Maaser Ksufim? The Ramah says you can. The Ramah says, first of all, 2 points, that there's a din of Maaser Ksufim and it's a din Maaser. Pesachei Tshuva disagrees. Pesachei Tshuva says, he quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that only by Maaser Tefuah can you test God, not by Maaser Ksufim. In other words, Maaser Ksufim is a din staka rather than a din of Maaser. Now, if we take this idea, this question, this hakira, is Maaser Ksufim type of Maaser, or is Maaser Ksufim a din of tzedakah? So we could emerge with a very interesting nafgamina. And the Minchas Yitzchak, in one of his tshuvas on Chelak Yud, Simen Pei Hei, he quotes tshuvos sefer, the Mishpat Tzedek, who makes an interesting point, that maybe Maaser Ksufim is only given in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Maaser Ksufim is a replacement for the real din of Maaser. Because a replacement for the real din of Maaser, after we no longer gave regular Maaseris in general, so then they have Maaser Ksufim. Even then, it's only done in Eretz Yisrael. That's a really extreme version of saying that Maaser Ksufim is a din of Maaser. What are some other applications? If Maaser Ksufim is a din of Maaser, whether Maaser Ksufim is a din of Tzedakah? So some of the other applications are as follows. We know that when it comes to Maaser, there are two aspects of the mitzvah of taking off Maaser. There's what we call Hafrasha and Nesina. In other words, I take a tiny bit off, I do a Kriya Shem, I say this is Maaser, and then there's also Nesina. Nesina is that I take it and I give it to a Kohen in the case of Truma, a Levi in the case of Maaser. This is Hafrasha and there is Nesina. When it comes to Maaser Ksufim, is there any din of Hafrash at all? Is there any aspect of taking the Maaser off and saying, this is Maaser? Right, that should relate to this question. If Maaser Ksufim is just a din of Tzedakah, so in the Chorobite Tzedakah, there's no inyan of Hafrash. You give it to the person, you make him happy. Right? But if it's a din of Maaser, so then there would be an inyan of Hafrasha when it comes to Maaser Ksufim. What's interesting is I give you the last source on these sheets I give you is a quote from the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef writes that Birkei Yosef has a chiddush. And in certain situations, he says that you should be mafresh the Maaser, then keep the Maaser yourself, no? In other words, I should separate it, say this is Maaser, but then I'll eat the stuff. I'll use it. Maaser Ksufim will go not to poor people, but to me, obviously because I'm a poor person, that's the idea. That's what the Birkei Yosef recommends. What are cases like this? Let's give you a case. In the Maaser Ksufim book, he has the following case. It's given in British pounds, because it's a British book. But you can probably figure it out yourself. Let's assume that the sustenance level, or people, for a year, is £500 per annum. That's what it means to be at the sustenance level. Let's say then I am earning £510 per annum. I'm above the sustenance level. Above the sustenance level, I have an obligation to give Maaser. How much Maaser do I give? Well, 51. No, I'm earning 510. I give 51. So far, so good. Problem. Once I give 51, so that takes me down to 459. 459 is beneath the sustenance level. If I'm beneath the sustenance level, I don't have a chiyuv to give Maaser. So what do I do in this situation? So the Birkei Yosef has a very interesting suggestion. He says, you know what you should do? You should be mafresh the Maaser, everything. Be mafresh 51. But then, of that 51, 41 of them you'll keep for yourself. 10 of them you'll give to tzedakah. In other words, only 10 is the amount that you are above the poverty level. That's what you give to tzedakah. The 41, you should be mafresh it as Maaser, but you don't have to should be mafresh it as meiser, but you don't have to give the meiser to poor people. That's another interesting chiddush. Now, let's just go back for a minute. Or let's talk about one other issue that the poskim discuss, and then we will bring it back to where we began. Is ma'aser k'safim, is it a din in money that I earn? Or is ma'aser k'safim also required on stuff that I didn't earn but I was given as a matana? And this is a huge discussion in poskim. Many quote, right, the Reb Chaim Kanyeski in the Sefer Derech Amuna quotes that you don't have to take ma'aser k'safim from gifts that are given to you if they are gifts in the form of objects. If money is given to you, you have to take ma'aser. Right? Now, this is an interesting idea. I don't take ma'aser from gifts. Right? I only take it from money. What's the pshat? The pshat probably is that the gifts that are given to me become mine. It becomes mine. I have no obligation in ma'aser. Money that's given to me. So then I don't have, when the money that's given to me, the gifts that are given to me, I don't have a chiyuv of ma'aser, but the money I do. That's what they quote from the Chazon Ish. They also discuss, let's say the money is given to me with the express purpose of buying something else. Is there a chiyuv of ma'aser in that situation? Parents give you money, they want you to buy an apartment. You have to take off ma'aser. If you have to take off ma'aser, then what you're doing is you're asking your parents for more money, no? Because apartment costs, whatever it costs, they give me the money for it. Oh, I'm being firm, I take off a tenth for ma'aser, so now I can't get that apartment. This could be a big problem. The ma'aser, right? Many poskim say, Rav Moshe has a svara, that if the nosin is makbid, the nosin is saying, you know what, I don't want you to use the money for any other purpose besides the gift that I want you to buy with the money, so then there's no chiyuv of ma'aser even on the money. Again, so let's review. On gifts, we assume there's no ma'aser. On money, there is ma'aser, but if the money is earmarked for a gift and the nosin is makbid, so then in that situation, if the nosin is makbid, so then you do not have to take ma'aser from it. That's the psak that Rav Moshe Feinstein has. Many question, why should the kepeda, the fact that the nosin cares, right, the fact that I give you the cash, right, and I care that I want you to only use it to buy an apartment, but once I give it to you, it becomes yours. So what rights do I have to make any determination? But nevertheless, that's what Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva Chelek Beis Simin Kuf Yud Gimel. Reb Feivel Cohen, in the Badei HaShulchan, Sifkot in Gimel, page 14, he points out that he thinks that if you get objects, you get gifts, maybe you should take ma'aser off of them. He suggests that perhaps if it's the type of gift that you would buy otherwise yourself, so that gift would come from your own money also, so then you're chayiv and ma'aser. But if it's a gift that wouldn't, that you would never spend money on, so then there's no chiyuv of ma'aser. That's what he writes, because that's really a full-fledged gift. How come he's arguing there's a mitzvah of ma'aser on a gift? He's arguing that because there's a sefer, the sefer Hayirah of Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that you take ma'aser from objects that are given to you. Adkan, right? That's basically Reb Feivel Cohen's cheshbin, and then he basically doctors up. He says, well, it depends whether the object is given to you, if it would be the type of object that you'd buy on your own or you wouldn't buy on your own. That's what he says. Now, when we think about it, so I have a Sefer HaYirah for Rabbeinu Yonah, and he talks about ma'aser. Didn't I tell you a few months ago there's no such thing as ma'aser in Sephardic lands? So the answer might be that Rabbeinu Yonah wasn't a Sephardi. That's not true. Now, he was a Sephardi. So, right, Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerundi. He lived in Gerona in Spain. So what are we saying that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, right, there's ma'aser? So the answer might be as follows. The Sefer HaYirah of Rabbeinu Yonah, the book that we're quoting, is not a standard halachic text. Rabbeinu Yonah was very frum. Again, there's a whole tradition that maybe Rabbeinu Yonah was involved in the burning of the Rambam, according to tradition, Rabbi Nahum, because he was involved in the burning of the Rambam, decided to do tshuva. That's why he wrote the Sharei Tshuva that many people study before the Yomim Noraim every year. That's a tradition. Again, it's not clear if this actually happened or not, but so goes the tradition that Rabbi Yona was involved in the burning of the Rambam. Now, be as it may, here Rabbi Yona wasn't involved in the burning of the Rambam. Unless Rabbi Yona is right from, and the Sefer HaYir of Rabbi Yona is an ethical work. If it's an ethical work, then I could argue that it doesn't prove anything about Sfarad. In other words, maybe in Sfarad no one gave Ma'aser, besides the super-duper from super-orthodox Haredim, people like Rabbi Yona, they gave Ma'aser. Perhaps that's the pshat. Im kenim hadvarim, so then we could say that Rabbeinu Yona does not prove anything about what's going on in Sfarad, and he also doesn't prove anything about whether I should give Ma'aser from objects. Five will go and says, oh, you see, for Rabbeinu Yona, you have to give Ma'aser from objects? No, because Rabbeinu Yona is not writing a work of halacha, he's writing a work of frumkeit. Halacha la Ma'isa, so many assume that since we pass at Ma'aser k'safim is a minhag, so it should depend on the expression that you used when you first decided to give Ma'aser k'safim. Did you use an expression that you give Ma'aser k'safim from everything, only from money, etc.? You should be careful. That's what it says in the book, Halichos Bein Adam Lachaveiro, that it should depend on the nusach that you use. A few interesting things emerge. If you hold, like Rabbi Pavel Cohen passes, like the Sefer HaYir of Rabbeinu Yona, that you should give Ma'aser from objects, so then, if I get 10 Mishloach Manos on Purim, I'm okay to give one of them away as Ma'aser, no? If you hold that there is Ma'aser K'safim, even on money that's given from parents to kids to buy an apartment, which, again, Rav Moshe doesn't agree with, but this is a little bit difficult over there. Why should the giver have any say on whether there's a Chiyuv of Ma'aser? So then, the best thing to do in terms of parents who want to buy an apartment for a kid is probably that the parents should buy the apartment in their own name and then give it to the kid as a full-fledged apartment. They shouldn't give the kids the money, because if they give the kids the money, so then according to more poskim, there's an obligation of Ma'aser K'safim. Similarly, kolel stipends should be subject to Ma'aser K'safim. However, if it's earmarked that we're giving it to you only to eat and drink, so then and then we could argue that, oh, if it's earmarked only for food and for drink, so then we could say that the giver is makbid, and then perhaps there's no obligation of ma'aser in that case, again, based on that sefer that we mentioned from Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's some very interesting things that relate to this question of ma'aser k'safim, but they all seem to be connected to the larger question. To what extent is it ma'aser? And to what extent is just an inyan of tzedakah? Once again, I thank you as always for coming, and Yashikayach, have a good evening.